This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Good Monday. Beautiful Monday. I hope you had a great weekend like we have on WJR, the great weekend. But be that as it may, it's a great Monday. And this is the week. Countdown is underway for the Detroit NFL draft. And boy, it's going to be a biggie. And if we can keep the weather nice like this, we will look spectacular to the world as they'll be tuning in. And as we welcome hundreds of thousands of people, and as we ourselves, as the people who've had to kind of grin and bear some of the traffic issues and such, we are doing that. And we will reap the benefits of a great event and one that we can be proud of here in Detroit. And as we've said and others have said, this is really an audition for future events. Claude Molinari and I have talked about that a number of times, and I know his people all weigh in on that and believe that. This is so very, very important. In fact, Christopher Moyer, one of his top lieutenants, Senior Director of Communications for Visit Detroit, saying the same thing, what we're all saying. This is an audition for future events. Future events, all good for Detroit. We've got the team here. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, our WJR Traffic and Weather First. Mike, of course, sounds familiar to you because you listen to him first thing in the morning, 5 to 6 a.m. Monday through Friday on First Thing with Mike Parsons and Renee Vitale. And I hope your show went well today, Mike.
So far, so good. We're 1 for 5.
Okay. Good that you keep track. Every day is a new day and a new challenge. I remember and understand. Well, hey, we have that here, too. Just because it's noon now, we still have it. By the way, stream us at WJR.com or WJR app is always good to have and check in on. And you can get our podcasts. And it does matter. They keep track. I keep track. We want you to be listening to the show, even if you can't listen to it from noon to two. We want you to be tuned in. We start with sad news from my hometown of Monroe, Michigan, born and raised in Monroe. And you know by now that on Saturday afternoon, a birthday party was taking place at the Swan Boat Club, Berlin Township, Monroe County Sheriff's Office, responding to a driver about 3 o'clock, suspected drunk driver, 66-year-old woman, driving right into the building, crashing through a wall, and immediately killing 2 children, a brother and a sister, ages 5 and 8. 5-year-old boy, 8-year-old girl. You can't put into words how horrifying something like this is. And what makes it so much worse is it was so preventable, so preventable.
The video, I don't know if it was someone's doorbell, you know, ring camera.
Couple of those.
But yeah, the video, the woman didn't stop. So,
She just zipped by. She could have hit a pole before she even got there. I wish she would have. She wouldn't have gotten to the building. She was so close to a pole, at least from what I could see.
Yeah, I mean, it leads you to believe that one way or another, she probably wasn't conscious when it happened.
Oh, you think not even conscious?
My guess is not, just because it was just, I didn't see any taillights. It just was full speed, 25 feet into the boat club. And the Detroit News just sent out a notification saying that there will be charging decisions made tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, tomorrow, yeah. And not only those 2 children died, but one of their other kids' siblings and their mother seriously injured in the crash, as were a number of other people. And so that woman sits in the Monroe County Jail at this point. And all we can do and all we can say is we are keeping them in our thoughts and prayers, all of those people, because everyone, including the deputies, have been affected in a very bad way by this horrific, preventable tragedy.
It's probably not even on your radar at a kid's birthday party that something like that could happen.
Not even for a moment. Not even for a moment. Now, I had heard, and I don't know, and I'll find out. I know a few people there who own funeral homes. I thought I heard someone say on Fox that somebody stepped up and said they would cover the funeral by one funeral home, I believe. But I'm going to double check and I'll let you know.
I do know that their GoFundMe.
Oh, it's over $100,000.
Yes, which is I mean when something like that happens, I mean people want to help and you know how else can you help other than that?
Right, right. All right, so I wanted to get that out right away so that people understand how we feel, and we'll give updates whenever we have them. Meanwhile, we are reaping what we have sown. That's a proverb, right? And it's also a truism, call it what you will. But future consequences are inevitably shaped by past and present actions. I'm speaking about the boneheaded idiots on some of the what we used to think were the best colleges in the world. Columbia, Yale, these are highly regarded schools. But we did notice that they kicked conservatives off the campus a long time ago. We remember talking about people coming there to speak, and if the kids didn't like their philosophical bent, they wouldn't let them speak. And we stood back and we talked about it, but no one did anything. And we are now paying the price for allowing the patients to run the asylum. And it's out of control. And I just watched a press conference with the New York City police saying that since Columbia is private property, if they do not see a crime happening, they're not going to respond. They basically have to be invited onto the university property as a private property. And they were one day, but they aren't today. And so the university decides how this is going to go. Apparently the university is okay with Jewish kids being scared to death and actually being told to go home, get out of here.
Right, a rabbi said, for your own safety, get out of there. And they
do Passover at home with your family, which starts tonight at sundown. And you can do your school remotely on your computer. And that's acceptable to Columbia University?
And there's no telling when that's going to end, because it police, like you said, they're doing all they can, but they're prohibited by a lot of red tape, and they've
private
made
a property.
Right. And they made a couple of arrests, but it was just a dent.
And so we look at what's happening and we scratch our heads and say, what's going on here? Imagine if it's hard to, in the short period of time we have here to talk right at the top of the show, but these kids who are screaming at Jewish kids are screaming at kids that have nothing to do with what these protesters are upset about. You mean because they're Jewish, you're going to blame them? Heck, there are plenty of Jewish people in this country and in Israel who are not happy with the way things are being run by the Israeli government and Netanyahu.
Huge protests in Israel.
Yes, but yet these people here on campus, just because they're Jewish. You know, if you put black in there, which is what we used to do, and we finally figured out how bad it was to say, oh, a black murdered that woman, I hate all blacks. Or a Chinese person did this, and I hate all Chinese people. But for some reason or another, it's still okay if somebody happens to be Jewish and they walk in fear for their lives on a college campus, a campus of educated, supposedly, people. Ugh, man, it's just too much, my friends. And we're doing nothing to fix it right now. We're putting up with it. And by the way, this whole story now about Trump and the guy from the National Enquirer, catch and release, meaning they pay people for a story and then they bury it. Well, what do you think's been happening with all of the Biden stories? The New York Times and all the institutional media, they just don't have to pay for it because they're a prestigious organization. But they had stories. What about Biden? What about Hunter's laptop? What about the Russian collusion on Trump when they knew this true story and they didn't correct it in a big way? Wow, it's Earth Day. And Earth is rocking, folks, and in not a good way. But we're going to do our best to accentuate the positive. We'll do our best to bring you relentless positive radio, even when it's not very easy to do. In Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Well, there's a lot going on there. Of course, because it's happening in New York City at Columbia, that we're getting a lot more attention about a professor standing and saying, a Columbia professor saying, Jews are not safe on any college campus. And he's mentioning all the various college campuses that are being very disappointing. It's astonishing how these kids on these college campuses are so misinformed. And how they are doing racist, anti-Semitic things that they would have been against in the past. But obviously, this has been building for a long time and causing all kinds of trouble. Boy, it's eye-opening, isn't it? Eye-opening. Meanwhile, we're spending time on trying to prosecute a former president of the United States as his so-called hush money trial actually begins today with the opening arguments. We are calling upon Jorge Vela, former federal prosecutor, now defense attorney at Vela Law, who's going to help us walk us through what's going on today. Jorge, welcome. It's Paul W. Smith. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me on, Paul. Appreciate it.
So the jurors were selected. Everybody's in place. And now it's up to the lawyers to make their opening statements. I've heard people say in the past that sometimes people make their decision based on the opening statement.
Absolutely. You are correct. And that's why jury selection is the most important part of the trial. Many of these jurors that were selected come into the courtroom with preconceived notions. And those notions are either about the law in the case or the accused. And in this case, unless you've had your head under a rock for the last 6 years, everybody has an opinion about Donald Trump. And so those opinions, though, they're strong on both sides. There's people that are fervently against him serving as president of the United States again. And there are others that, no matter how much evidence is presented to them, would never convict because they don't have faith that this is a legitimate criminal prosecution. And so you bring up a great point in that jury selection in this case is more important than any other case that's pending in the United States, because there are certain people that, regardless of the evidence presented, will never convict Donald Trump, which is why the prosecution in the case has an uphill battle, because all defense needs to do is have one juror on that case that is saying they refuse to convict. Regardless of the evidence, they are not convinced that Trump is being treated fairly or that this is even a legitimate prosecution that is not politically motivated.
Well, that'd be hard. I couldn't be on the jury then, because I absolutely don't believe he's being treated properly and absolutely believe all of this is political. So there I go. I disqualified myself. However, what we have created in this country is a bonanza for people who appear on this kind of jury that gets this kind of attention. And so they're going to lie. There are people on that jury who have flat out lied. You know it. I know it. Everybody should know it. Why? Because however this turns out, they can write a book. And some damn publishing company is going to offer them all kinds of money for that book. That's what we've created in this country, which is going to make it very difficult to have proper jury selection and an honest outcome in some of these biggest cases that get all the attention.
I don't disagree with anything that you just said. After 13 years of doing this, being both a federal prosecutor and a state prosecutor, and being a criminal defense attorney, I can tell you everybody lies. Everybody has their own version of the truth. As a lawyer who's been on both sides, though, the greater concern to me is something that you pointed out, which is the weaponization or the politicization, but according to some people, of our criminal justice system. The justice branch, the judicial branch, is one of our fundamental tenets of our democracy. And when people begin to lose faith in the criminal justice process, then it erodes our sense of democracy. And so as a lawyer that is in the trenches here fighting, it is sad to see people lose faith in this system, which is one of the greatest systems in the country. With all its faults, with everything, I don't think that there is a better system in the world than the United States criminal justice system, the justice system in general. However, with both sides having their own agenda, with the right making accusations of the justice branch being weaponized and politicized, it degrades everyone's faith in our democracy, and it's frustrating to see as a lawyer.
Jorge Vela is with us, former federal prosecutor turned defense attorney at Vela Law, V-E-L-A, Vela Law. I don't think we can unring the bell. I don't know what we can do to fix what's going on now. I don't think people will stand for not having these things televised, which only adds to the whole problem. And, you know, there's no better system anywhere. There's no better country in the world. But now we get lambasted by people in this country who are screaming death to America, death to Israel, death to America, whatever. But I ask these idiots who are yelling death to America, why did you come here, or why did you stay here if you were born here, and why do so many people try to come here if this is such a bad place? I don't have an answer for that, but it infuriates me to see what is going on in this country. But I'm not sure what to do. I'm not going to put all of that on your shoulders. Yeah, I went on this radio show and this guy asked me how I can fix the country. I am going to ask you, how do we fix the legal system and the court system?
Well, that's $1 million question. And if I had the answer to that, I would be a politician instead of a lawyer.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
All I can tell you is that I have faith in the American public. I have faith in the fundamental aspects of our democracy, which are the three branches. I have faith that we are going to pull through this as a country. But it's going to take, I think, some concessions from both sides. I think there is a very divided, corrosive environment right now that we were all working under. And I can tell you that during jury selection has become more difficult as a lawyer because people refuse to change their views. And I think it's going to take everyone coming together at least and trying to understand the other side. And I know that that sounds like some fairy tale, but if you're asking me how to fix this, I mean, it is a grassroots movement. No politician, like you just said, is ever going to change our minds. No TV show, no media, no nothing is ever going to change our minds. This is something that has to come from the American people.
You know, I will say, Jorge, I didn't have a good feeling when there was a new introduction into this system. And the introduction were the people who now make a very good living being experts in jury selection. Really? I mean, that's a job. That's an industry. Experts in helping people pick the right jury, which has nothing to do with how the case goes, what the facts are, what the evidence might be. It's just being an expert in jury selection. Jorge, go ahead.
I got something even scarier for you. Wait till AI gets involved and is more prevalently used to identify who's going to be a good juror. That is a scary.
Let's just jump ahead. Wait until AI just decides who's guilty and who's innocent.
Yeah, scary thought. All for us to consider.
Jorge Vela, people can find you at Vela Law, and I hope they do, Jorge.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate your expertise as we continue here in Focus on WJR. It's Earth Day. It started on this day, I think on this day, in 1969. Well, I do know it's Earth Day. It had something to do with an oil spill, too, in Santa Barbara, California. And a senator named Gaylord Nelson, who witnessed the effects of the massive oil spill, he called to action all Americans to take a stand for the environment. That he did in 1970, and then thousands of colleges and universities across the United States organized protests for a healthy, sustainable Earth. And that's where it all began in, I guess, 1969. It is Passover tonight at sundown. There'll be Seders, and you can say happy Passover to your Jewish friends at a most troubling time, one of the most troubling times in their history. Not the most, but certainly one of the most. Meanwhile, T-minus 3 days if you count today till Thursday, and it's finally here. The Detroit NFL Draft. Sam Krasenstein is the chief of infrastructure for our great city of Detroit, and he's here to give us some, well, I'll call them last-minute bits of help, information about getting around during the draft. Sam, welcome. I'm Paul.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. We're all excited. We're all, the whole city of Detroit, gearing up, the whole surrounding area gearing up as the city hosts the NFL draft downtown April 25th through the 27th. And you're partnering with people all around the region, and the mayor is excited. Everybody's excited. So what information can you give us to make it easier for people who live here and for those who already are listening in who have come into Detroit?
So for the next few days, so I'll talk about two things. So that for the next one is how people manage the next few days before the actual event and then the event itself.
Okay.
So for the next few days, we know that the road closures are, you know, a big factor in the way people get around downtown and can be a little bit inconvenient. So we're definitely appreciative of everyone's, you know, patience as we're going through each phase of our road closure plan. The latest information for getting around downtown we have put up onto Google Maps and Waze, showing which roads are closed. So for people getting around, definitely make sure that you take a look at that to know, you know, what streets are closed. If we do have the opportunity to keep a street open for a little bit longer than what we provided, we are, because we're trying to maximize the ability for people to get around downtown even while we're planning for this great event.
It's going to be important. You know, there, it's easy to say, well, I know my way around downtown Detroit. No, you really don't know your way around downtown Detroit with a big stage that's never been there in the middle of everything and with the roads that are closed. They've been closed now for a while, and it's going to be 300, 400, 500, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people, but it will still be well worth it to come down to the city. I suggest again and again and again, as I have, that you join Claude Molinari and Chris Moyer and all the team from Visit Detroit. Go to visitdetroit.com. It doesn't cost anything to participate in all these festivities. Don't let anyone sell you something, because you don't need to buy anything. But you do need to register if you want to participate in some of the many wonderful activities. And if you go to visitdetroit.com, you can still get hooked up with your pass for the big NFL draft. But you do need that
exactly.
If you want to participate, right? Am I right about that?
Yep. All you need to do is you have to download the NFL One Pass, and it's completely free, but it's basically your ticket into the event. So for people coming down here, one of the things we're really encouraging is for you to plan ahead and make sure you take care of your parking or transportation option, or take care of your parking and transportation option coming down here. So we've set up a number of really great park and ride and fan shuttle options that should make it really easy for people to get downtown in an affordable way without having to break the bank for parking. So we've partnered with Q Line, and we've set up $5 park and ride options up in New Center around Grand Boulevard where people can park, they can hop on the Q Line, and they can come right down Woodward to be able to walk past the Fox Theater where the prospects will be coming out of, to walk through Grand Circus Park, where our partners at DDP are holding a really great event, and down into the entrance itself, where people will be able to go experience the NFL draft and go see the theater itself. We've also set up a number of fan shuttle park and rides, where we're going to be running shuttles nonstop 11 a.m. to midnight on Thursday and Friday, where people can park at the River East Garage at Wayne State or at Bagley Mobility Hub over in Corktown, and really affordable, really easy to way to get in and out of downtown if you don't want to have to worry about the, you know, the trouble and potential expense of trying to park and navigate downtown.
And the three secure entry points to the 2024 NFL Draft located at Jefferson Avenue and Randolph Street, Jefferson Avenue and Griswold Street, Cadillac Square, and Randolph. But parking, as you just put it, and taking one of the shuttles takes care of all of that. You don't need to know much more because the shuttles are going to take you where you have to go. In the 2024 NFL Draft, I call it the Detroit NFL Draft, but the official name, the 2024 NFL Draft presented by Bud Light, is comprised of the NFL Draft experience presented by Rocket Mortgage, for example, and that's free to the public too. But with a sponsor named Bud Light, this next question is an urgent one. Have you added a lot of porta potties?
All throughout the downtown and within the perimeter, there's they're a little bit nicer than porta potties, but there's a ton of restrooms for people to be able to use inside and outside the perimeter.
Okay, I could only think of the name porta potty. I'm glad to hear that they're even nicer. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
and it's important when you're going to have that many people down there, and
Yeah, we want people to be comfortable, and we want people to be coming down and enjoying themselves for as long as they wish to be down here. So we would hope something like bathrooms are not the reason that people are having to leave and go find somewhere else because they simply can't find a place to go. So I feel pretty good that we've taken care of that.
Well, I feel good that people are going to feel pretty good because that's one of the questions that might be difficult to ask, but I felt I had to ask it on behalf of anybody who has ever been in a circumstance or situation like that and go, oh, boy, where do I go? It's going to be obvious, and they're nice facilities. That's certainly good news. Anything else that we need to know that you can help us with, Sam?
Hope that we get a good weather day like today.
That's funny. I was about to ask you if you had put in the order for good weather. I, honest to God, I didn't do it because I didn't want to put you on the spot. But now that you brought it up, how's the weather looking?
We have put the order in and it's here. So far Thursday, it looks like it's going to be in the 50s and sunny, very similar to what we had yesterday and today, and then warming up a little bit Friday and Saturday, maybe with a shower on Saturday. But we feel very lucky if we get away and we get a Thursday and Friday that's dry and clear, and a day like today, we'll feel like it's going to be, no matter what the weather, it's going to be a great event. But the good weather makes it nicer.
It just makes it nicer. And I want to congratulate you and the entire city of Detroit, since you are the chief of infrastructure. Sam Krasenstein, I want to thank you and congratulate you and all the people you represent in advance for doing such a great job in getting us ready and getting into this wonderful experience that's going to be it's going to be unlike anything we've ever experienced. So thank you for that.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. We're promoting it and have been ever since we heard about it. And WJR will be there in force. Is that the best way to put it? I don't know. Is there a better way to put that, Mike Parsons? WJR is going to be all over this thing.
Yeah, I think all over. Just tune in all day.
You can stream us, WJR.com, WJR app, on your phone. You can get podcasts. You can get it all. We aim to please at WJR. Well, here we go. Great minds think alike, because I thought of calling my friend Michael Forsyth to find out what they were doing tied in with all of the celebration that's happening here in Detroit this week, and leave it to Marie Osborne to think of this and get right on it. Thousands of local businesses are beginning to file into the city, and many local businesses will have specials out this week to honor the NFL draft. Some of them are underway already. Among them, the award-winning Detroit City Distillery with Michael Forsyth and I think 7 or 8 friends that started this distillery a while ago. Used to have them on the morning show all the time, and I've lost track of them. We're going to have to reconnect, and we're doing that right now with our WJR senior news analyst, Marie Osborne.
Hi, Paul. So the Detroit Distillery wanted to step up with some activities for fans as they're right on Gratiot by Ford Field. DCD spokesperson Ryan Kozlowski says they are offering special tours of the whiskey factory this entire week starting tomorrow.
fan favorite of ours where we candlelight the upstairs of the Whiskey Factory, and we'll be streaming the second round of the NFL draft on Friday. And there's three seatings of that, one at 5, one at 7, and one at 9 p.m. And each one of those tickets to the cocktail lounge actually comes with that collectible Blue Roar cocktail that I was talking about earlier.
We'll talk about that Blue Roar in just a second. So the factory is housed in the historic former Stroh Ice Cream Factory. The DCD is also doing a bar takeover at the Foundation Hotel. Evenings from Tuesday to Friday, they're going to have special cocktails mixed by the experts. On Friday, DCD will host three separate seatings at the Factory Cocktail Lounge, so you can enjoy a cocktail while watching the NFL Draft live stream. The distillery's bar tasting room on Ryopel also open, live streaming the NFL Draft. And Kozlowski says the distillery staff have been aware that many fans are going to be coming from nearby to enjoy everything.
I think with the NFL Draft and the just the fan bases that are all around the Midwest, we think about, you know, Wisconsin, Ohio, New York. Like, there's so many drivable cities close to Detroit. Like, it'll be a chance for us to, again, like, kind of give a little bit of Detroit for them to take home.
Now, Paul, we were going to do the story focused on this Blue Roar cocktail that they came up with for this event, for the draft. They're sold out.
Already?
They sold out over the weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
So this beautiful limited edition, it's a tropical blue bottled cocktail, they're sold out. But
well, let me tell you this. These kids, and it's eight childhood friends that started this small distillery, and they make alcohol the old-fashioned way. They create small batch, there you go, sold out, small batch artisanal whiskey, gin, vodka, using the finest local ingredients sourced directly from farms near their distillery.
Right.
And, of course, the tasting room there, the Ryopel, and near Eastern Market and all of that, they have Punschki vodka. We've featured this before on the morning show. Punschki vodka, homegrown rye, railroad and peacemaker gin, butcher's cut bourbon, bloodline whiskey, gilded age vodka, and summer rum. Now, that's the last time I talked to Michael Forsyth, which was, unfortunately, could be a year ago. And we need to catch up with him because I bet they have a bunch of new product. I'm so glad you found them. How did they come to your attention?
Well, I have my sources, Paul, and they cannot be divulged. I have a long connection to this distillery. They helped the Plaid Pig Foundation out for
nice.
Us.
How so am I not surprised?
They came out with a special bottle of bourbon for the Plaid Pig Scholarship Fund in honor of my late son. And they were so, I can't begin to tell you how generous they were with us and this bourbon that they came up with. And, you know, I've talked to you about this before. During the pandemic, at the very beginning of the pandemic, they obviously couldn't make the booze because they weren't selling it to anybody. So they went right to making hand sanitizers. And one morning I called Mike Forsyth early in the morning and I said, gosh, how's it going? He goes, well, yeah, I was up all night making the hand sanitizer. He goes, now I'm delivering it to local police departments and hospitals.
Oh, how great.
These are the kinds of people that are really behind this distillery.
That might be how they came to our attention. I don't remember. It might have been at that time that we said, well, we want to talk to these kids. This is amazing. They pivoted immediately to help everybody with the hand sanitizer.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. And not to mention, their product is outstanding. I'm not a big drinker, but a lot of people in my family love cocktails, and they just wouldn't think of making it with anything else. And this Blue Roar, I think it's hilarious that they came out with this fabulous release and they made a ton of it, but because their products are so well respected, they're sold out. But it doesn't mean you can't go to the distillery or to the tasting room and have a really great time this weekend.
Trust me, they'll have plenty of really excellent material to drink.
Yep.
Product, even if they don't have that one anymore. Now they know to make even more of it. And it's perfect for the Lions, obviously, with the color. A quick note while I have you and we have time. You and I have been in the business long enough to remember Terry Anderson. In fact, he was the good reporter for the Associated Press. He was held captive for nearly 7 years in Lebanon beginning in 1985. When he got out, I had him on my radio show. It must have been while I was in Philadelphia. And he was quite an interesting guy, deeply committed to an on-the-ground eyewitness reporting style. He demonstrated great bravery and resolve, both in his journalism and during his years held hostage, someone is quoted here as saying. And we were really appreciative of his sacrifices. And then coming on my show afterwards and talking to other people around the country about what was going on was very special. I'm sorry to say he has passed away at the age of 76. Do you ever remember talking to him?
I certainly remember his story, but I don't think I ever spoke to him directly, no.
I did that, and it had to be, given the timing, it had to be while I was either in New York, WABC, or in Philly at WWDB-FM Talk. I honestly can't tell you. But he passed from complications from recent heart surgery, we're told. But I'm sure people remember the name, Terry Anderson, because he was, you know, he was held captive for 7 years and finally got out. We talked earlier about the horrible birthday party crash from a apparently, allegedly, 66-year-old woman now facing charges of driving under the influence or drunk driving or whatever they call it now. But this was just a bad one nearby in our hometown of Monroe, Michigan. And there, everyone there is in our thoughts and prayers.
And there's a GoFundMe campaign underway for that family, by the way, Paul.
Over $100,000 so far. The mother, two children in the family dead, a third child injured, and the mother injured. And I can't get this information while I'm on the air, but I swear I heard that somebody is, Rupp Funeral Home, or somebody is picking up the tab for the funeral. We continue, WJR. What a beautiful Monday. We're so glad we're together here. Hope you had a great weekend. The team ready to serve you. Mike Parsons, who you know from First Thing with Mike Parsons and Renee Vitale, 5 to 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. Daniel Mason, pressing all the right buttons, keeping us held together. And Rich Luzinski, WJR, Traffic and Weather. First, are you streaming? You can stream us. Wait a minute, that sounded funny. Are you streaming? Well, you can stream us at WJR.com or the WJR app, and you can also get our podcasts there to hear individual interviews or the whole show. If you can't be here noon to 2 or you want to hear it again, we welcome you to do that. I was just told by Mike Parsons the GoFundMe account, if you will, for the poor little kids that died and their mother and another child injured in all the same family and that whole terrible story of the apparently drunk driver, 66-year-old woman, plowing into the building and hurting so many people. The GoFundMe, they say, is now at 170. They're now shooting for 200,000. They were going for 100. Now it's 200,000. And did you hear what Dick Hafner just said? I know you kids are busy there in the booth, but Mike, Danielle, Rich, did you hear that what? Dick Hafner spoke to a doctor who has confirmed that cell phones and that radiation cause brain damage? Nobody's ever come out and said that. I mean, other than people who didn't really know and were saying it. And
yeah, we've all suspected it, but now it's good to hear it confirmed.
Well, it's good to hear it's confirmed, but now what?
Right.
I do my best to never have the phone up to my ear. I try to use the speaker all the time. And unfortunately, Apple makes you jump through like 3 hoops to turn the speaker on when you get a call. They've made it harder, not easier. And I've always worried about those little earbuds because that's even closer inside your head. So, you know, on Instagram, some guy's selling some patch that goes on your phone and supposedly cuts down on the radiation. Who knows? Somebody in the government should tell us. With all the money they waste, how about wasting a little money on testing these things and telling us the safest way to use a cell phone?
Well,
I don't know.
And I remember there were a lot of there was a lot of questions about, you know, like prostate cancer. And it sounds like you're joking, but you're not, because you got your phone in your pocket all the time, and people worry about that kind of radiation too.
I hadn't even heard that one.
Yeah, I mean, this was years ago, and it was the same as to up until now with the brain with the brain damage, where they say it's not conclusive, so probably not. But now we may have to rethink that.
Yeah, I want to know. I do want to know. And there certainly has to be enough tests, and I don't want to believe anyone would quash the results from those tests.
And Chris Renwick, yeah, Chris Renwick remembers testicular cancer was the big question because, you know, you have your phone in your pocket all the time. There's that radiation. So
Right. Yeah, now where am I used to have a little holster on my belt, but I stopped doing that, just slipping it in my pocket when they got smaller and easier to do. So, all right, well, we're going to look into that a little bit. You are going to find us someone, Mike Parsons, somebody legitimate, like the person that that our own Dick Hafner spoke to. I think that'd be very good.
Challenge accepted. I'll find somebody.
Thank you. Civil War tops the box office. Must be quite a film. Has anybody here seen it?
No, I was going to wait for it to come out on streaming, but it looks interesting. I don't know if I want to drop $15 to go see it, but if it came out on Netflix or Paramount Plus or something, I'd watch it.
Abigail finished second, top five rounded out by three movies with long titles, Godzilla, X, Kong, A New Empire, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and Spy X Family Code White.
I've heard of maybe two of those, and that's because of Greg Russell.
You're doing better than me.
I know Civil War and Abigail because Greg Russell reviewed them. Other than that, I'm lost.
Earth Day, which started in 1969. Some of us were on the air when that happened. It's today. And I think more and more people are buying into realizing we are a bit responsible for our Earth. We don't want it to be polluted. It's just better for all of us if we keep the air and the water and the ground itself clean. Remember, people used to just throw things out their car. They used to throw trash out their car window and no one thought anything of it.
Isn't that the reason they came up with the deposit law?
Maybe. Yes. Passover at sundown today, one of the most celebrated Jewish holidays of the year, celebrating the liberation and exodus of the Israelites from enslavement in Egypt over 3,300 years ago. And I wrote a very small little piece of my first and only experience with a Seder. That's the dinner they'll have tonight. Very ceremonial, very interesting, I thought. Brings in the kids, brings in a lot of stuff. It's quite a ceremony, the Seder, that'll happen tonight. After sundown, as Passover begins, you can say Happy Passover. That's a fine greeting to your Jewish friends, which is a hell of a lot better than what they're hearing on college campuses, which is October 7th is going to be every day for you from these moronic, belligerent, idiot students as we are reaping what we have sown on college campuses that we never could have believed this could happen. The proverb or truism, reaping what you sow, is true. The future consequences are inevitably shaped by past and present actions. Remember, conservatives were kicked off campuses long ago, but we didn't do anything about it. Well, and we should have.
Also, the sad thing is, you know, this is why a lot of people came over from that part of the world here to America to get away from that stuff. And now it's being, and now it's manifesting itself again.
Well, it's manifesting itself from spoiled kids who never had to really struggle to have anything that they have. And so they paint with a broad brush. You think the kids on campus, the Jewish kids, have anything to do with the way Netanyahu runs Israel? There are plenty of people in this country and in Israel who are not happy with the way Netanyahu is doing things. But if they find out you're Jewish, you're part of the problem, and they scream at you on more college campuses than I ever could have imagined. Such misguided sadness. And now in New York City, the police are saying, hey, look, Columbia University's private property. If we see someone being assaulted or criminal activity against them, we'll go in. But otherwise, we stay off until they invite us in. And Columbia invited them in the other day, but they don't have a carte blanche to be there all the time.
I'm sure they'll have the police clear it out pretty quickly once people start asking for refund checks from the semester for not being able to get onto campus.
That would be excellent for people to do that. It's way better than people that are being told, if you're Jewish, go back home, which is what the people on their side are telling them for their own safety. Go home. Celebrate Passover with your family. Finish the semester with off-campus learning on your computer. You're right. They should get their money back. And frankly, I don't know. Do we give money to a Columbia or a Yale or any of these schools? Do we, as a country, give money to these people?
Probably in a roundabout way, but not directly.
Well, because I don't want any of my money going to support such idiots. These are idiots. Unbelievably stupid to be screaming at people, October 7th is going to be every day for you. How can you do that? How could you stand for what Hamas did? How could you possibly stand for it? Yeah, I know it didn't happen just October 7th. I know it started many years ago, and the problems continue, and I don't know if there's ever going to be a fix. It seems to me a two-state, but Netanyahu's against that idea. I don't know. It's just, it's not worth it for our country to be dragged into all of these problems that come from the Middle East, and we have nothing to do with it other than defending our friend and a democracy. Whatever. Oh, boy. Okay, so Earth Day, Passover, and the problems continue. You know, this whole Trump thing now where this prosecutor, Letitia James, now she tried to challenge the bond that he got, $175 million. Luckily, the judge said, go sit down. Shut up. We know that you ran to try to railroad Donald Trump. You said it when you were running for office. It shouldn't even be happening. But this whole thing now about a guy catch and release, a guy buying stories for the National Enquirer and then burying them, the New York Times and most institutional media has done catch and release. They just didn't have to pay for the stories. They knew the story about Hunter Biden's laptop, but they buried it. Same thing they're blaming this guy from the National Enquirer for doing. They knew about the Russian collusion lie on Trump, but they buried the truth. So catch and release is something that the mainstream media is very familiar with. As we continue on WJR. I just got a reminder from Kim saying she remembers this one commercial, and it was very powerful. It came out in about 1971, if you recall this. It was an Indian, and he was alone in a canoe going through some river water. As he was going along, you saw in the water all kinds of pollution, trash that people had just carelessly thrown into the water. That's what people did. Cruise ships used to throw their trash and junk, furniture, everything, into the ocean. Because, well, the ocean was so big. All these things used to happen. Hopefully they don't happen at all anymore. But remember the commercial with the Indian in his canoe and going through the pollution and the tears coming down his face. How many remember that commercial from 1971? Once you are reminded of it, it is a memory that you recall had an impact. Unless you were heartless, it had an impact on you. Well, today is Earth Day, and though some people go overboard with that, the reality is we should be responsible stewards of this planet that we live on and try to leave it even better than when we found it, when we leave and the other folks follow us. It's the least we can do. All right, we have the House passing a $95 billion package over the weekend, providing foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Some moderate Republicans commended Speaker Mike Johnson after he joined the Democrats to advance the measure to the Saturday vote, while others in the conservative flank voiced strong opposition. Republican Representative Crazy Woman Marjorie Taylor Greene said Speaker Johnson betrayed Republican voters and threatened to call a vote for his ouster. Now, will she do that for the other 101 Republicans who voted also for it? Come on, Marjorie! Well, anyway, Rocky Rajkowski, a retired lieutenant colonel for the U.S. Army, is here to give us his take on that package and maybe on a few other things that are happening in our world today, because I admire Rocky, and I appreciate his thinking. Rocky, welcome back.
Hey, Paul W., thank you for having me on. And by the way, I think I was in diapers when that commercial came out in 1971.
Well, I was just graduating from high school. So I guess I am. And I was still wearing diapers. No, and I guess I am older than everybody, but that's okay.
That's all right.
All right. It's okay. What, so, I mean, you do remember the commercial, though.
I do. I do recall it.
The Indian crying. It was something. It was powerful. Anyway.
Yeah, very much so.
All right. It was powerful, too, to finally say we are going to help Ukraine. We are going to continue to help Ukraine, Israel. And now we're even getting involved with Taiwan.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Believe it or not, you know, Paul W., we actually have been involved with Taiwan with the Asian Pacific Command, what's called the Pacific Command, with our military in that region. And Taiwan has always been, even though we've had this, our State Department has this one China policy, Taiwan has always been a partner of ours in the defense of that region and played an integral role of that. And right now we have, many people may not know this, but we have special operation forces in that region, Navy, Army, Marine Corps, and Air Force assets that are working with the Taiwanese military to build up their military and protect themselves from any future attack of China.
Really?
Yeah,
well, I guess I should have paid closer attention. Yeah. I know we... What is that noise I keep hearing once in a while? Is something moving where you are?
No, I'm on my cell phone. I have no idea
right.
what it is.
Okay, but, all right, very good. All right, so... was this a good move or not a good move? I'd say you're a conservative Republican.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a conservative Republican. I'm a conservative. And I understand what these individuals on the conservative right wing are concerned about. They're concerned about overspending and not watching our southern border. But I believe we can chew gum and walk at the same time. I think that when you look at the threats, the future threats in our world, we need to support our partners and our allies in Ukraine and in Israel and in the Asian Pacific area. What was really interesting about this package, the Senate passed it as one big package, but the House had to tear it up into four packages. The first one was Ukraine, the second one was Israel, the third one was Taiwan. And the Israel package, by the way, also included about $8 billion of what they call economic and humanitarian aid for Gaza, which I guess I understand the humanitarian aid. I don't understand the economic aid when for years they've been taking that aid from all over the world, and instead of helping their own people, they've been building tunnels and buying missiles.
Yeah,
you know, because, people always say that there's they say there's so much lacking, medicine and food lacking and water lacking in Gaza. The only thing that's not lacking, as I always say, is missiles. How is that? That's amazing. But in the fourth bill was a combined bill to put Iran sanctions and basically seize Russian assets, Russian oligarch assets in the U.S. or that U.S. has control over, and take that money and pay ourselves back, as well as potentially put it into a fund that rebuilds Ukraine after the war.
You know, it's an excellent point we don't bring up very often, and so much of this has been brought upon themselves, sadly. But you're right, with the billions of dollars that have gone to the Palestinians, you got to ask yourself, how come it wasn't used for all the things they say they don't have?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest problems when we start doling out cash. So I understand and I get the conservative angst because they are angry with our overspending. Listen, our budget deficit, we're teetering into a position where financially we're not going to be able to afford anything because our debt payments are going to be larger than anything else. I get it. But in this situation, I believe that supporting our allies so that we don't have to fight future wars is a lot better by spending a little bit now than costing lives. Listen, I've seen war. I don't want to see war, and I'd rather have it end by having those that have chips in the game fight the wars.
Rocky Raskowski, real quick, another topic. I've been saying we're reaping what we have sown on college campuses. The future consequences are inevitably shaped by the past and present actions. Give me a quick take on I'm stunned and so disappointed to see such widespread hate on college campuses.
Yeah, there's a lot, but it's fueled by liberal money that's pushed in there. And the thing that we need to focus on, and a quick point, is that congratulations to Columbia and Yale for finally putting a stop to this.
Well, are you being serious or are you kidding?
No, I'm being serious because now they called
Yale,
in the police forces.
Columbia just disinvited the police from their campus.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. The police came in and did the right thing when Columbia invited them in, but because it's private property, Columbia can say, okay, thanks very much, now
that's
leave. And they have to
ask. Yeah, they did a 180 then.
Yes. They got worried about, I don't know what they got worried about, but okay. Rocky, I appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
I don't know what that noise was I kept hearing. Something was electronic there. But here's, everything's working just fine right here, right now. Paul Eisenstein here, coming up next on WJR. We do appreciate that. We appreciate you streaming us, too, at WJR.com or the WJR app. Check in constantly. And if you can't be here from noon to 2, or if you want to hear something again, you can podcast all the shows. I hope you'll podcast my show every day, especially if you can't be here or if you want to hear an interview again. It's real easy. All right. Had I known that there were auto shows going to be in Belize, I would have kept doing the auto shows. Well, it's not really up to me, and I'm kind of making a joke, and I don't think it's an auto show in Belize, but I never know when I find Paul Eisenstein, editor of Headlight.News. You're in Belize?
I'm in Belize. Now, the first time I came here, which was quite a few years ago, I actually did come down for an automotive event. Of all things, Acura debuted the MDX, their biggest SUV down here, many, many years ago. This time I'm down here enjoying the heat as part of, you ready for this? I don't think you'd associate the word with me, but a vacation.
What? You on a vacation?
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's something. Good for you. You deserve it. I've never known you to take one, Paul.
I had to. My wife, Jennifer, it was also, we're marking our 16th anniversary, so it's a good excuse to get away.
Is it your 16th?
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. Uh-huh. Wow. All right. Well, happy anniversary to you and Jennifer. I had no idea it was
Thank
that
you.
Long. Wow. All right, you are here, too, to talk about the big win for the UAW. They're calling this a big win by, becoming, with the Volkswagen now, the only unionized foreign commercial car maker in the United States.
Yeah, it's definitely a big win. It's a big win on a bunch of different points. Okay, first of all, it now will become the very first non-Big Three plant in the United States to have a union. It is the spearhead of what Sean Fain, the UAW president, has declared as the most important campaign, organizing campaign in its history, to try to organize all of the assembly plants. And to give it momentum, they didn't just win by a narrow vote. They won by almost 74%. In other words, 3 out of 4 of the workers who cast votes, and by the way, it was a very high turnout, 3 out of 4 of those people who came out to vote voted in favor of the UAW.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look at, all they have to do is look at the unbelievable job that Sean Fain is said to have done with our Big Three. But, you know, the funny thing is none of them have yet seen, apparently, how many jobs have been lost because of that great deal, and how many more cars are going to be made in Mexico and China. Just mark my word, I said it at the time, it's already begun. Even Stellantis had the guts to say, oh, we're going to have a lot more cuts. We're going to fix this company now. And these are cuts they might not have had if they didn't have to pay what they're paying. But that, be that as it may, let them enjoy it while they can.
Well, you know, we'll have to wait and see how many cuts really are the result of the new contracts that the UAW won last year. I think a lot of these cuts were going to come anyway, especially with Stellantis, which is a global operation. And they face, here's the interesting point, they face heavy pressure from the unions that have tremendous control in Europe and don't want the cuts to come from there. So they would have been having cuts anyway. And you can see that. Simply go up to the Chrysler Technology Center, the CTC, and see how many of the jobs up there, non-union people, have been moved out of the U.S. So I'd be a little bit cautious before I take the word of Stellantis saying that this is why so many jobs are being lost.
Well, whatever the reason, hey, Paul, why do you think General Motors is leaving the Renaissance Center and taking two floors, just two, in the Hudson Building? Well, why do you think that Stellantis is trying like crazy to dump that facility that is magnificent and huge, but in Auburn Hills, they don't need it, and they can't afford it anymore?
But you got back to my point. They are under heavy pressure at Stellantis to bring the jobs to Europe. And you want to talk about cost, Paul? Let's talk about cost. It's 20 to 30% higher costs in any plant in Europe, unless you go into the Old East, than it is here. And yet a lot of the jobs that are going back are going into the high-cost European operations. As for GM, well, let's look at that. Why does GM downsize? These are not union workers, for the most part, who are being moved out of the Rennset. They've been moving for quite a while out of the Rennset. So these are hourly people. Now, some of them, salary people. Some of them are going to Warren. Some of them are going out to Milford. Some of them are going to other locations. And the reality is GM's a much smaller company. Remember, they don't have operations in Europe. They sold that off. They closed their operations in Australia. They closed their operations in South Africa, in Russia, India. So it's a very much smaller company, and a good percentage of their workers also work from home. So we got to be careful not to over buy into, if you will, some of the excuses being used to try to blame everything on the UAW. Will the contract cost jobs? Probably, but don't blame all on that.
What do you think about the Mercedes plant in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, set to vote in mid-May?
I think they have a reasonably good shot at that. And here's the question. What happens next? They certainly want to go after the big Japanese manufacturers who operate far more plants in the U.S. than the Europeans. If they get the momentum going in Alabama, I think the Japanese are next.
Wow. All right. Paul Eisenstein with his lovely wife, Jennifer, their 16th anniversary celebrating in Belize. You don't know Paul the way I know him. It's a really big deal that he's taking a vacation. But P.S., he's working on his vacation because he's talking to us. Thank you, Paul.
It's good to be with you, Paul.
Always nice to talk with you. Have fun. Use lots of sun protection. 142 WJR. A moment ago, you heard a commercial regarding the Mackinac Center, and I've carried this around, and this is a perfect time to bring it up, and also there's a deadline. You're invited for an evening with the Mackinac Center Thursday, May 9th, and you're invited by the Board of Directors, Rodney M. Lockwood, Jr., Chairman, President, Lockwood Construction Company, Joseph J. Lehman, the President of Mackinac Center for Public Policy, Jim Barrett, Vice Chairman, retired president and CEO of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, Joseph P. McGuire, treasurer, president of Wolverine Development Corporation, and Richard D. McClellan, secretary and an attorney with McClellan Law Offices. You are invited to join them coming up on Thursday, May 9th. If you want to do that, this coming Thursday, April 25th, is the deadline to RSVP and be there. It'll be happening at the JW Marriott in Grand Rapids, and it's quite an event. The keynote speaker will be none other than Megyn Kelly, the journalist and host of the Megyn Kelly Show. And she's always done a good job, and she's still out there working. She has a popular radio show. She has her little television podcast, one of the top podcasts in the country, so if you'd like to see her as the keynote speaker, Megyn Kelly, you'll want to come to this. And congratulations to the champions of freedom, Dick and Effie Hayworth. The Mackinac Center's Champions of Freedom Award honors the lifetime of faithful dedication in the principles of freedom and self-reliance. It is all happening. An evening with the Mackinac Center on Thursday, May 9th. But you must get registered by this Thursday. That's the deadline. You can register online at mackinaw.org/events, mackinaw.org/events, or you can call them at 989-698-1905. 989-698-1905. Sounds like it would be a great event. If I were in town, I would be there, but I'm not. But you might be, and you might want to be there. All right, the hours go by quickly. You can stream us at WJR.com or use the WJR app and check in on that. And then the podcasts. So if you can't be here noon to 2, I understand. But you can do the podcast and listen at any time, either individual interviews or the whole show. And I hope that you will do that. And then you'll listen to JR Afternoons with Chris Renwick immediately following the news, which is coming up next. And it's going to be a busy day, as it always is, Chris, on your show. You're in the sweet spot of all the things that have happened, whether it be over the weekend or over the last several hours through the morning, midday, and afternoon.
Yeah, it's a nice spot to be in because it gives me all morning to stew about things that I really want to talk about. You know, like this situation out in Columbia. So it's nice. It's nice to be with my thoughts all day, and then I can get on the air and just start, you know,
I can't
going crazy. So.
Eloquently express how disappointed I am. I don't understand it. No question, we're reaping what we have sown. That proverb or truism, that means future consequences are inevitably shaped by past and present actions. And that's what's happening now. But I never would have guessed it was this bad, this hard, that when conservatives were kicked off the campus long ago, when God was kicked out of education long ago, all these things that we saw happen and we mentioned but had no idea what the consequences would be, that we had no idea that there would be students at some of our best, we thought, institutions of higher learning who've been in the hands of liberal people, that they would yell out at a person just because they were Jewish, October 7th is going to be every day for you. To somebody they don't know, to somebody has nothing to do with how Israel is being run, could be somebody who's actually against the way Netanyahu is doing things, because there are plenty of people in this country and in Israel that don't agree with Netanyahu, and yet they could, across the board, without any thought or any thinking, because you can't do this if you think, doing what they're doing now.
Well, how about this? Paul, I was following this over the weekend, and things really took a nasty turn. Much nastier than they were late last week over the weekend. And just outside of the, whatever they're calling it, the Liberation,
they got a little camp
palace.
There. They got a name there.
Yeah. Great. There was a guy urging all Jews to go back to Poland. So we've reached the point of, and this is the question I have for people today, is have we reached the point of no return? Like, are we at the point where it is so vitriolic, it is so tribalistic, we have gotten to the point where we don't even understand what's happening anymore, and those at the top, leaders, the president of Colombia, is doing nothing. I mean, she came out late and said things, and that's all well and good. It's too late. And I never quite understand how leaders of these institutions can let things spiral so far out of control, but when there's accountability to be had, they're ghosts. It's crazy to me.
Well, I hate to put it this way, but for most of those kids living in the tent city, this is like an adventure. Ooh, this is an adventure.
I think you're right.
I suspect their houses, that these kids that come mostly from most of the people who go to Columbia, Yale, etc., are not the poor people. They're from well-to-do families.
Yeah.
And so this is like camping. It's an adventure. And they don't even understand that there are so many people that live like this in tent cities day in and day out, Palestinians and others, that could use some real help. And them screaming at Jewish people on their campuses isn't helping them at all. So these kids who are having an adventure, a camping out, fun time.
Yeah, it's pretend.
They have no idea.
Yeah.
And yet they're doing nothing to help those people who really need the help, the Palestinians and all the rest of the people who are oppressed and living horrific lives while these kids play around.
Let me offer you this. Let me put this into evidence, Paul. You ready?
Yep.
So near Columbia is Barnard College. All right. So they have kind of joined together with Columbia in these protests. Well, one student at that school, Isra Hirsi, is the daughter of Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota.
Right.
And she tweeted, in addition to Colombia's complete divestment from Israel, she and her fellow protesters are demanding full amnesty for all students facing repression. You know, of course, except for Jews. So,
yeah, of course. And they'll get it, which is really annoying, because there'll be no consequences to what they have done.
It's the Twilight Zone. Like, none of this is explainable. Like, I can't even come up with a real reason for all of these actions. I don't know.
I don't believe these students, if pressed, could come up with legitimate reasons for doing what they're doing. There's plenty that's wrong going on in the Middle East.
That's right.
Plenty. And I'm half Lebanese. I'm telling you, there's plenty wrong. But they're not fixing anything by what they're doing. And by attacking fellow students who have really nothing to do with it, that's like attacking all blacks when a black person does something wrong. Attacking all Chinese people when a Chinese person does something wrong.
Sense.
How about attacking all whites when a white person does something wrong? It's the same logic, and it's illogical. JR Afternoon, Chris Renwick coming up. Stand by for news. Make each and every day count. Each day is a gift. It really is. And we'll look forward to being with you tomorrow at the Detroit Economic Club. Regards, Paul W. Smith.